Mr. Phillips, now address a question to Mr. Ellington.
All right, so as a college student getting ready to graduate, finally, I know all too well the cost of a college education. As of now, I'm around $25,000 in student loan debt. That's daunting, being a broke college student for the past 5 years. Looking at that, having to pay that off is, I don't know how to face it. And according to a recent report by the College Board and Advocacy and Police Center, college tuition rose while financial aid didn't. It stalled. And here's some statistics. It rose about 4.8%. So if you were paying over $8,200, it would rise to $865. Here at Arkansas State, when tuition rose, it was about $250 to $300. That's a lot of money for a broke college student. So my question, what would you do to help the college student who's wanting to get a higher education, because you have to have it in this country nowadays, who just feel like they can't go to college simply because it's too expensive?
Well, Caleb, the answer to your question is this. I will support, not only support Pell Grants, I will support the move to continue funding Pell Grant program, which is unlike our current congressman. I will continue support student loan programs, guaranteed student loan programs. I would also encourage and support practices like the Delta Regional Authority that has loan forgiveness programs for going back and working in the Delta and working in job creation areas to help students who have graduated to find jobs and go to work and do those sort of things. I believe that the government benefits of college students, someone who wants to go to school, should be increased along the level of college tuition to that effect, at least in the respect of as the economy goes. And I think that certainly we should offer you that opportunity and any student that opportunity who wants to go to college have that opportunity to do. I couldn't have gone to college had it not been for Pell Grants and student loans. And many of the people in here who have college degrees couldn't have done that. So I support those and believe that that is exactly what we need to do. A concern that I have in this whole area of education is job creation. And I believe that we need to focus on job creation in this part of the state. And we have many, this is a great four-year institution, but we have many good, great two-year institutions as well that need assistance to draw students in and to draw corporations in and marry companies with bring companies in to employ students and to actually have research, development, apprenticeship programs, job training programs in those areas so that we can have students who graduate with associate's degrees that can go to work. Students who graduate with a four-year degrees can also move home and be in their area as well.
Thank you. Mr. Ellington spoke to what I was going to speak to is that we've got to worry about jobs. If you come out of college and there are plenty of jobs out there for you to choose from, then paying back that student loan debt is not going to be as big a burden. I know that between my husband and I, we've both been out of college for some time now, but we still pay about $400 a month in student loans still today. And I'm not a prosecuting attorney, and I'm not a congressman. I'm an average Arkansan, and that's significant money to our family. So I understand the burden of paying back your student loans. But again, I think that when it comes to job creation, we need to be focusing on lowering taxes across the board. When taxes are lower, businessmen and entrepreneurs have more money in their pockets to build their businesses, to create those jobs for these college students just coming into the workforce. If we keep taxing our businessmen like we are, taking 40-50% of their income, how are they going to create jobs for you? I think it's a pretty simple solution. You cut taxes. You're probably going to hear me say that over and over, but we've got to cut taxes, and along with that, we've got to cut spending again so that we can get our economy back on track and get these businessmen creating jobs for you college students right out of school.
Caleb, I think that's a great question. I mean, I'm currently in college. I've had to take out some student loans. They've been essential to actually help me finish college in some means. And overall, I mean, you know, I've tried to stay away from them for the, I mean, for what you've mentioned. I mean, they're really just loan sharks in disguise preying on students. But what I'm really mad at isn't so much the college student loan program as I'm mad at the institutions themselves. Look at the price inflation. At these institutions. Look at the wasteful spending. Man, when are they going to get done with that fine arts building? Well, that's real nice sitting out there, that big skeleton out there. I mean, I guess that's like some abstract art, you know, about, you know, the wasteful spending at college institutions. Or, I mean, I like football as much as the next guy, but I mean, how much do we really need to pay Gus Malzahn? I mean, do we need billboards all over the state? I mean, going into Little Rock, game on, you know, like is that why I'm going to ASU? You know, like, I mean, where's our research coming out of this institution? I'm a graduate student. I'm certainly dismayed at like the lack of research coming out of ASU. I mean, maybe if we had a little bit more funding for research, we could get more people into higher degrees and actually, you know, get people into some technical professions. But, I mean, look at what's going on here. I mean, college students are having to pay more and more every year they raise tuition. Why can't we put a cap on tuition limits? I mean, that's the real problem, is these institutions are just going wild. They can spend whatever they want. I mean, how much do you have to pay a college administrator for what they do? And how many of them do you need? Do they all need to be paid $100,000 each? And do they all need just like one specific little job? I mean, you can consolidate these offices. I mean, this is a huge good old boy system. I mean, people are making money off us poor students, and I'm sad. I mean, shame on you people making money off us poor college students, because we're just trying to get a job like anybody else, and we're trying to get along in the world too. I mean, that's essentially the American dream, right?
I can say is, you know, we it speaks to the larger point. Scarcer resources are driven by debt and profligate spending. And if we don't get our hands around that problem quickly, if we don't address that problem, your problem is going to be compounded. Because like you, I went to college as a result of a combination of veterans education assistance, former military member, and also some student loans. And so I had some student loan debt. And there are programs, there are federal programs that offer student loan repayment, particularly in the healthcare field, but there are others. And those resources are threatened because of the fact that we have not been good stewards of taxpayer dollars. We continue to borrow, and don't allocate those resources where they can do the most good. But the truth of the matter is, the one-size-fits-all approach to how we educate our young people has also got to be stopped. And that'll make better use of our taxpayer dollars with respect to getting that aid where it needs to go and yield the most positive results.
Well, I think that when you talk about debt and the debt that we have in our country right now, I think that you have to look back to the last 10 years where we had... We give millionaires and billionaires tax breaks and where they get to save a whole lot of money, and then you have two wars that were put on the tabs that were not necessarily required. And I think that if you look at how we got into the debt that we have, when Bill Clinton left office, we had a surplus in the budget. We had 4% unemployment. All of a sudden, you have these massive tax cuts for the wealthy, and then you start a couple of wars up, and the country's in debt. So just look who put us in debt, in the shape that we're in right now, and then who's hammering at us at the current administration for that. I think that if you look at the situation, you'll see that Democrats left the country in pretty good shape 20 years ago.
Ms. Blakely will now direct her question to Ms. Paxton.
As I'm sure you're well aware, this election is an important one for women. And according to a recent study, just 1 year after graduation, women are earning only 82% of what their male colleagues are paid. What would you do to make sure that women and men are paid equally?
That's a very good question, and thank you. I believe that that the government should not direct private businesses. I think that a private business has the power to decide for themselves what they pay their employees. And I think that any business that's going to publicly pay women less than men certainly wouldn't get my dollars. I wouldn't go to a restaurant to eat where I knew that the women were being paid less. I do think that in this country, we don't appreciate our women. As a mother, I certainly understand that. Sometimes I feel less appreciated. So I understand that, but I believe I'm going to wait for my rebuttal to see what my gentleman counterparts here had to say.
Mr. Holloway.
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, I mean, you look at wages right now, wages are falling, productivity is falling, you know, and it's going to be, if it's harder for men to get a job, I mean, you know, I mean, how unfair is it for, I mean, women? I mean, honestly, you know, obviously I'm not a woman, but I'm having a hard time getting a job. So just, you know, think about, we're all in this together. And so the women's struggle is also the men's struggle, you know, to be able to get a job. And I mean, that's essentially what this is. I mean, you know, the fact if there is wage discrimination going on, that should be prosecuted. That should be prosecuted, and people who are engaged in wage discrimination should be brought under the current existing laws. I mean, a lot of people just shut up. They don't speak out. And if women are being, you know, discriminated against for wage discrimination, they need to speak up about it. And, like, as a society, we should encourage our women to get higher-paying jobs. I mean, and so this is not so much like a government thing, it's like a societal thing. I mean, you know, I know there's some movements going on to try and bring back the ERA in Arkansas. There's some movements going on, you know, to try and pass more laws for equal pay. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we need to punish the people who do that. And also at the end of the day, I mean, women need to know that they are equals with men and that they deserve equal pay. And when that's not happening and women's being discriminated in their workplace, I mean, they need to find a lawyer. I mean, and they maybe tell Mr. Ellington, you know, hey, I'm being discriminated against and I need someone to help me. And so, I mean, that's at least, you know, in a kind of concise way what I can say about your question.
He touched on some great points there. You know, discrimination in the workplace, whether it be based on gender or any other, certainly needs to be shouted about, and people need to know about it, and we need to take whatever action is necessary to rectify that situation. Interesting statistic, you know, we still have 23 million Americans out of work, and that's not a gender bias, that's a fact. These are Americans. It's not 23 million American men, it's not 23 million American women, it's 23 million Americans out of work. And that's because our economy is in such sad shape, driven by what else? The common theme, debt. And again, if we can address these things, we can talk about these things, and what are we going to do to correct these problems, then we're on a better path to address problems in the workplace. But women have made great strides in the last decade, certainly, and if they're not being treated equally, then that certainly needs to be talked about. My wife is a professional woman. She's got a master's degree. She's worked in the professional capacity. And when I got elected to Congress, she chose to make the decision to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom. And she works harder than anybody I know. And so I'm the last person in the world that wants to see women discriminated against in the workplace or otherwise.
Well, let me tell you. First of all, we now have the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, which is a great law and it was brought in effect because of this very reason. A few months ago, I was asked about supporting the ERA, and I made the statement that I was offended that we're still talking about the ERA and that we had to pass a law just in the last few years to mandate that women get equal pay for equal job, equal work as a man. There's no reason for that. I mean, if any individual for the job that they're doing should be paid, it should be equal time for equal pay, no matter what the gender of the person that's doing it. And it's wrong, and it's discrimination. I don't think that I, as a state prosecutor, could file charges against somebody, but certainly there are civil claims that could be filed. And so I, you know, I wouldn't. But there are civil actions that could be taking place. But I'm offended that there's that concern is here. It should have been taken care of 20 years ago, not just now. As we brought forth the Lilly Ledbetter Act, as the current or the former Congress 2 years ago, 4 years ago did. Women should be paid the same as men, and there should be exacting regulations and punishment to prevent discrimination based on gender.
You have 1 minute, Ms. Paxton.
Yes, I agree that absolutely women should be paid equal time, equal pay. I completely agree with that. But I also agree that the government should not dictate how a private business is run. But I hope you can understand the difference there. I would expect a private business to pay women as equals. And Mr. Holloway, I believe, spoke about minimum wage. I don't really think there should be a federal minimum wage. I think that as that number rises, then costs are passed on to consumers, and it's just inflation. I have looked at the ERA. I've met some nice people who work for that cause, and my only criticism is that, heaven forbid, we ever have another draft, that women will be drafted just as men, and that's something as a woman I certainly wouldn't want to see our mothers headed off to war involuntarily. So, thank you.